Right, okay. So, this discourse, which... Hi there.
We'll have to run out. I've got yahrzeit and...
Sure, and same kind of, yeah. I've had yahrzeit today as well.
You did?
Yeah. Well, for my grandfather, so.
Oh, we're going to lose you as well.
You said you had.
No.
Last week
he ran with you.
Yeah.
7 minutes past 10.
Okay. Yeah. Understand. No, that's fair enough. I get a minion. If I get back by 11, I have a minion just outside my, up the road. a few houses.
Well, that's great.
So this discourse, which was said in 1962, for Shabbat Parshat Korach, is very reminiscent of a passage which is said in shul, or if one's davening at home, on Friday nights, called Kagavna, which is a passage from the Zohar. So I thought we would begin by just looking through that passage from the Zohar, and then the discourse is going to bring us another passage from the Zohar, which relates directly to the Sedra. But now this passage, Kagavna, is in your packet. It should be at the end of it. Do you see that? Yeah, you've got it. It begins in the middle of the page. Kagavna. So let's just see this text. Kagavna de inen mityachdim le'elam be'echad. Just as they, the Sfirot, are unified above in one, ufhochi, also here, iit yachdat le'tata. Do you have it?
Yeah.
She, that means the Sfira Malchut, kingship, which represents Shabbat, is unified below, beraza de'echad, in the secret of oneness. Lemeheve in hon le'ela, so that it should be together with them above, chad lekabel chad, one corresponding to one. So we've got Sfira Malchut. If we look at the diagram of the Sfira, so there's in the feminine, in Malchut, there are the other Sfira. Do you have this here? Love it. There are the other Sfirot. All the Sfirot are in Malchut as well. And so you have to imagine Malchut as if it's a whole picture of Sfirot again. So in Malchut, all the Sfirot are unified. And that's like at the lower level, corresponding to the Sfirot on the higher level, which are also being unified. Shabbat is a special moment. And so it's a moment of a special unity. So that unity is there on this spiritual dimension of existence, then being expressed through other aspects of existence.
So how does Shabbos come into this?
Well, this is happening on Shabbat.
Oh, that's when all the spirits are unified?
Yes, yeah, that's this special unity and this special mirroring of the lower level with the higher level, that they suddenly start mirroring each other, instead of as it normally is, that there's a kind of dislocation. There's the physical world and there's the spiritual realm. So there are two different levels. On Shabbat, they're sort of aligned together. And so just as he begins, just as they're unified above in the oneness, so too they're unified below in the oneness. And that's peculiar to Shabbat.
So normally constantly unified above, but only on Shabbos they're unified below.
Even the unity above, I think, is more explicit on Shabbat, or it's more revealed. And then in the third line down, in this Kagavna, Kud Shebirichu Echad, the Holy One, who is one, Le'ela above, that means these upper Sfirot, Lo yotev al kursayed yekarei, does not sit on his throne of glory. Now the throne of glory means Malchut. It means he doesn't bond with Malchut. Ad de itavidat I berasa de echad, till it malchut becomes one with the secret of oneness. Kegavna dile, like him, like the upper level. Le meheve echad be echad, so that they can be one and one. So in other words, the sfirot represent a kind of unification, that there's a flow of the sfirot into malchut. Malchut's like the feminine, the sfirot are like the masculine, and they are flowing into malchut. But they only flow into malchut when malchut itself expresses oneness. So when there's this oneness on the part of malchut, then there is a oneness above as well, and they connect together. So they are like they reflect each other. The upper and the lower reflect each other. And then it speaks more explicitly about Shabbat. Raza de Shabbat, the secret of Shabbat. I Shabbat de Itachadat, that is Shabbat which is unified. Baraza de Echad, with the secret of oneness. Le Mishre Allah Raza de Echad, so that the secret of oneness dwells on it. And then it speaks about the prayers of the eve of Shabbat, which is when there is this unification taking place, and the throne below and the upper spirit above, they're all unified.
And you're talking about as they go down in all the worlds.
Yes.
Yeah, is it sort of a double
effect? So that yes. So there's Shabbat in all the worlds.
Ah.
Right. Now it's a very beautiful passage, and it's usually babbled through. On Erev Shabbat in the but it's a very, very beautiful thing, and it talks about the peace that there is, and so that gives us a kind of introduction, which on a certain level is more familiar because it's part of the davening and it's in the siddur. That gives us a kind of an introduction to what it's going to have in the discourse. And the discourse kicks off from a verse right at the beginning of the Sedra. So if we can just have a look at that verse. So there, if we go back to the pack, the first page of the pack. Vayikach Korach, that's the very beginning of the Sedra. Korach, who was Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kahat, Ben Levi, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahat, it's going through the generations, the son of Levi, took, and V'datan V'aviram, and these people of the tribe of Reuven. And then in the second verse it says, V'yakumu lifnei Moshe, they stood before Moses, V'anashim ibnei Yisrael, men of the Jewish people, Chamishim u'matayim, 250, those are the people of Korach and of Reuven, Nisiei Eda, princes of the community, Kriyei Moed. Now, that's an interesting phrase. We'll come back to it in a second. Anshei Shem, men of renown. Now, let's have a look at the way Kaplan, Alav Shalom, translated this, men of rank in the community, right? So, Kriyei Moed, he translates, representatives at the assembly. That's how he translates it. Representatives in the assembly. And then he has an asterisk, which I think will mean they'll, he doesn't really give, or chosen counselors, okay, the Septuagint. The Greek translation of the Torah has chosen counselors. So it's a rather ambiguous phrase, kriye moed, and you see that it's pronounced kriye, if you look at that in the end of, near the end of verse 2, it's pronounced kriye, but you might expect kufresh yud, aleph yud, in order for it to be kriye. So the Baal Koreh has to know that this is Kriye. And Moed is a strange word because Moed can mean council, it can also mean festival, it can mean a special day. So there's a, the discourse revolves around those two words, Kriye Moed. so that's what the discourse is exploring and explaining within the context of a passage of the Zohar similar to the passage that we just read from the Siddur Kagavna, but focusing on these words and Korach and what was Korach's problem and what could it have been, what was the positive possibility. And it's something which could make one appreciate more what is Shabbat and what is Jewish leadership, because Korach's argument is about who should be leader. And so the whole nature of leadership, as the discourse unfolds, the nature of leadership is that it should translate through into the people. Leadership is like the higher dimension of Sfirah pouring into the people who are like kingship, Malchut, who absorb that inspiration and unity from leadership, making them be unified together and connected with God in the right way. So it's a very interesting parallel between the spiritual juncture which Shabbat represents of Sfirot flowing into Malchut and the spiritual juncture that healthy Jewish leadership represents, which is also a spiritual flow into the people. And Korach's rebellion against Moses' leadership was a kind of interruption of this structure. There was some aspect in what he was trying to achieve which was missing and which is supposed to be, and it wasn't that. Okay. So in order to help us absorb this discourse, we'll have a bit of the Maimonides. Oh, ya, 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 Hayin adam bayin adam bayom bayom bayin adam bayin yo yayin adam bayam mayo hayin adam bayin adam bayo ya hayam bayam bam bam ya yam bayam bam bam ho yam bam ho yam bam bam. Okay, so now we turn to the discourse set in 1962, not edited by the Rebbe, like most of these Dvar Malchut discourses. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe, and they stood before Moshe, kriye, etc., kriye moed. Right, so this phrase, kriye moed, how the cat can translate it? Members of the assembly or something. Representatives at the assembly. All right, as good as any translation. Now, v'ita b'zohar, and we learn in the Zohar, v'nitba'er, and it's explained b'beyure ha'zohar la'tzemech tzedek, in a volume called Explanations of Zohar by the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. The point being that there is a book called Explanations of Zohar, which was published by the Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, containing explanations which were really given by his father, Rabbi Shneur Zalman. And then the Tzemach Tzedek also has a Biurei HaZohar as well. So, fat book, which is commentaries on the Zohar. So he comments there, or it says in the Zohar, and it's there in the Tzemach Tzedek as well, Kriye K'tiv Chaseh Yud, the word Kriye, called to, is written without a Yud. So the Zohar asks, Amai Kriye, why does it use this word Kriye? Ela Hachihu, but this is what it's trying to say. Malchut da'ara ke'ein malchut d'rakia. Now this is a famous concept. Kingship on earth is similar to kingship on heaven. In other words, what it's talking about is the parallel between what is happening in the world to what is happening in the supernal realms. So the idea that kingship on earth, that you have a king and ministers and the people, that somehow reflects the divine structure of God and angels, and this concept is there in Jewish thought. It's said that when the Tsar was killed by the revolutionaries in, I think it was 1916, so famous Chabad Mashpia said, "Oh, there goes a wonderful metaphor that Hasidus uses in order to understand the relationship of a king and people, and now that's been destroyed. Now we've got socialism or communism." So we won't have that metaphor. So there is this this concept that there is a parallel of what is happening below to what is happening above. Line 5. Barazada, and this secret, Kolin un Kitrini line, all those upper, now Keter means, in this case, it means crowns, but it means Sfirot. Shehem eses Sfirot de Ban. Now when it says Ban, Ban has a numerical value of 52, and Ban represents a way of writing the name of God. One second. I'm writing a kuf instead of a hay. So this is really two hays. Yud ke, and then vav ke. Now, yud vav dalet, that's 10, and 6 and 4, that's 20. 10 and 10, 5 and 5, sorry, is 10. 5 and 5 is 10. Vav and vav is 6 and 6, is 12. 20, 30, 42, 52. Comes to 52 equals Shem Ban. That's the name Ban.
What does Ban come from there? Oh, well, is that what you're calling the...
So it's really Yudke Vavke. Ban is a way of writing Yudke Vavke where you spell out every letter. You write it Yud Vav Dalet.
So instead of writing Yudke Vavke, you write Ban.
Yeah, now that's... Well, Ban represents Yudke Vavke in a particular form,
okay,
but it's the feminine dimension because it's filled out with a hay. Now there's another way of writing the name Yudke Vavke with an aleph. So we have the same Yud Vav Dalet.
Oh, hey, aleph.
And then I'm writing Kuf, but Kuf Aleph. Then we have Vav with an aleph. And then K Aleph again. So we've got 20. Hey and Aleph is 6. This time, this is 13. 6 and 6 plus 1 is 13. And here we have 6. 20, 26. 29, 39, 45. Equals 45. And that is Shem Ma. Now, 45 also makes the word Adam. Okay?
Yeah.
So that is another dimension of the divine name. So there's the divine name Ma, the divine name of 45 is the higher Sfirot, the divine name of 52 is the lower Sfirot of Malchut. Imagine that Malchut is a complete structure of Sfirot. And what we're talking about is Ma and Ban, which are like the two dimensions of interconnection. Ma represents the male, Ban represents the female, and they are connecting together in through the sphere. Now, so that is the secret, line 5. That is the secret of all these upper sphirot, which are in the sphirot of Ban, which are in Malchut, the Shema Kadisha. Because the sacred name, Hainu Shem Ma, that means the name Ma, which is the highest Sfirot, Itachid Behu, cleaves to them, that means the upper Sfirot cleave to the lower Sfirot. The Hainu, as he says in the brackets, the Hainu, that means Shem Ma, the name Ma, the male Sfirot, Mevarer, sifts through and connects with Shem Ban, the name, the lower name, So it's as if the name Yudke Vavke spelt in this way and the name Yudke Vavke spelt in that way bond together. And that is the highest Sfirot and the lowest Sfirot of Malchut, and they are bonded together, they're unified.
So that's the higher one?
Yeah. No, this is the lower one.
That's the lower one.
By paradoxically, the higher number is the lower level. Okay. 52 is higher than 45, okay. But the higher number is the letter He. The key thing here is the letter He, which is a feminine letter. And the key thing here is the letter Aleph, which is like a masculine letter. So it's the Aleph and the He. So it's whether it is filled out, whether the name Yudke Vavke is filled out with Aleph, or it's filled out with He. That makes the difference. And so we have these two dimensions of divine name in existence, bonding together. And that is what is coming together. And all of them, Kulam, now this is line 8, Kul huzaminim ma'ata de'ikri kodesh. All of them are prepared from the realm which is called holiness, which means the quality of chokhmah, wisdom. So it's wisdom which somehow is flowing down and is inspiring this bonding and connection together. So it's from wisdom that this sort of unification is taking place. Now the reason why it's from wisdom, because wisdom represents bitul, self-abnegation. And the way that you get unity is through self-abnegation. That is the way that things can bond together. Now there's another way of having unity, which is not from wisdom, but is from chokhmah, but is from bina, understanding, which represents joy. Now joy is also a way of being unified, but it doesn't have the same quality as the unity which comes from wisdom. The point which comes out in this discourse is that Korach was trying to achieve a kind of unification from the level of bina, which is of joy, but without humility. Without humility. And that joy can lead to dangerous consequences. So the quality of Moshe is the quality of wisdom and anava, humility, selflessness. So Moshe's unification and leadership is one which flows through selflessness combined with joy as well. Whereas Korach lacked that quality of wisdom. And that was the problem with his attempt at leadership. So in other words, the story which is there in the Chumash about a rebellion and about Korach, and he was jealous and this and that, which Rashi puts in a very like straightforward way, that Moses made a certain appointment and Korach was upset, he should have been appointed to that position, is here all being interpreted in Kabbalistic terms and exalted spiritual realms.
I got a question. I still can't quite see what determines that the ban comes from the Malchut, from the lower level, but the Adam or the Chochma? No. Yeah, Kafhei. Not Kafhei, the other one.
Ma.
Ma, yeah, the Ma. Right. Why does that come from the other one? What determines that?
It's a way that you spell out the divine name, and you see everything is like divine names.
Yeah, but why do you associate the spelling of the divine name of Ma with the upper level and Ban with the lower? You said that's the masculine and the feminine.
I think that's just the way it's understood, that the Aleph represents the higher level and the He, which is like a receptacle. You see, the He is the feminine in the divine name, Yud and He and Vav and He. Yud is like wisdom, is like the seminal drop going into He, which is like the feminine. Then there is Vav, and again there's the letter He, which is like the feminine. So the He represents the feminine. So the divine name, which is focused on the letter Aleph rather than the letter He, that's the masculine. It's probably further.
But didn't you associate the ban with malchut?
Yeah, that's the feminine. Ban
because
is the other.
Because it's the negative, the feminine, and malchut is feminine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, that's a basic concept. Malchut is feminine. Mm. Why kingship is feminine? It's because women rule everything. But that concept of women being representing, so the feminine being malchut, kingship, that it's the sense in which the woman is the basis of the home and of everything that is happening, like the story of the husband and wife who are telling people, you know, who decides what. My husband, says the wife, my husband decides all the important things, whether there should be Brexit, what the relationship with America should be, and this issue and that issue, and I decide where we live and which school the children should go to and what we have for supper and so on. So the woman decides the reality. So that is Malchut, as opposed to the upper Sfirot, which are kind of theoretical in comparison. All right, so let's go on with our exploration of Zohar. So line 9, the end of the line, Hadahu Dichtiv, that's what is written, Mikrae Kodesh. Now, the word Mikra Kodesh, which again is a very difficult word to translate. It's sometimes translated a holy convocation. I remember a certain professor I knew who believed from professor, he believed it's called that because you read the Torah. Mikrae Kodesh means Shabbat or a festival. One of the things we do on a Shabbat or a festival is we read the Torah. So he had the theory, that's why it's called Mikrae Kodesh. So, because of Mikra, because of reading. But it's a sacred time of coming together and reading or doing something or being called together. That's another way of understanding it. The people are called. Kara means called. It can mean read or called. So you're calling the people together because Shabbat or a festival is a time people gather together usually. So those Mikrae Kodesh, those times of this sacred coming together, now sacred coming together of people, sacred coming together of the Sfirot. So they're all coming together. Yeah, we're looking at a kind of beyond a veil into a spiritual realm, which is the source of our human behavior. The Eimatai, line 10, when is this unification? Beshata de Moed, at a time that the festival Zamin Ba'alma, when the festival is impregnating the world, or it's there within the world. Vahainu, and that means Shabbat Shabbat. I think here the Rebbe is explaining. The Rebbe is giving a commentary on the passage. Shabbat Shabbat, on Shabbat, Nimshachim u'mitgalim, there is revealed Atzmiot Mochin da'aba, the Moach. Now, Abba is another name for wisdom. Right? So, there are all these metaphors. And in a sense, our lives are metaphors. We are a kind of metaphor for spiritual reality. Now, at the same time, our lives are real. It's as if we live in a... an idea is brought in a text of the second Lubavitcher Rebbe of a map. So you look at a map. The map has on it lines and different images. And those lines and images, you know, you've got kind of, you know, that's something or other on the map, and then you have something else, you know, whatever it might be. And so that there are all kinds of images on the map. And then you look at the map, and then you see the reality around. And you can see that this line, maybe it represents a railway track. And that line is maybe a river. And that line is maybe a mountain. You know, like it. And you can see the way it fits the terrain. So then you consider what the map represents. he sort of goes both ways. It's as if that mountain and that river and that railway track are themselves images for another reality. And at every step, everything that we see or experience or are part of is a doorway to another reality. And so there's realities higher than us, there's realities in us. We're all the time, we're joining worlds. There's different levels of the spiritual and the physical, and this kind of joining of worlds is happening all the time. And of particular significance is on Shabbat, when there is a, it's as if the veil is drawn aside much more powerfully on Shabbat, where the intensity of these spiritual unities are available in some sense to be experienced. So the joy and the peace and the oneg of Shabbat are really ways in which we are making access to an exalted spiritual unity. Now, as mentioned with the text Kagavna from the Zohar, which in the Hasidic custom is read at the beginning of Shabbat on Friday night, this is like really a universal way of understanding what Shabbat is, but most, you know, people don't necessarily think about what it means and what it actually represents. But this discourse is taking a similar passage of the Zohar and is fleshing it out more.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
We understand that everything that happens down here, Lamata, has its source, Lamaila. Nothing happens without first something having happened, Lamaila. So are we to understand that there's a way to put into perspective what happened with Korach and Moshe Lamaila? I mean, ostensibly, everything Hashem created is perfect Lamaila, so where's the connection between what actually happened?
Well, that's a very profound question, because one can ask that question on everything. Jews served the golden calf, what was happening above which would make them do it? I think that there is a vital concept, is the idea of the free will of the Jew here in the world, so that in fact it's what we do that affects what's happening above. So this is expressed in Hasidic thought with the phrase Hashem Tzilecha, God is your shadow. The same way when you move your hand, your shadow moves. So that means what is above, God here represents all the spiritual realms, are affected by our human movements. We do this, it affects it this way. We do that, it affects it that way. And that's a crucial turn in thinking, that we are the ones who are somehow affecting upper spiritual worlds. And one of the ways this is discussed in the interface between Hasidic thought and Halakha, you see the Talmud speaks about the spiritual, it doesn't exactly use the word spiritual, but the control that the rabbis have over existence by the fact that the rabbis have the responsibility to decide the calendar. So the month has usually got either 29 or 30 days. And really, it's up to the rabbis whether it should be 29 or 30. In ancient times, they had witnesses coming to say they'd seen the new moon. So if they saw that early, so the month would have only 29 days. If they didn't see it, or if the Bet Din didn't trust the witnesses, then they would make the month 30 days. And sometimes the rabbis would make it 30 days despite the witnesses. So there's like a change in the calendar, or they can even institute an extra month, like we have Adar Sheni. Now, nowadays it's in a fixed calendar. You could work out 5 years ahead when it's going to be the 5th of Adar Sheni. But it used to be that you didn't know for next month exactly what's going to be the day. Now, there are certain physiological changes, which, according to the Talmud, depend on age. the age of a person. Now what happens if at some crucial moment, like on the edge of this physiological change, if the month was a shorter month and it's already a new, like the new month already, or the new year, that physiological change has already happened. Or if the rabbis decide to make an extra day or an extra month, the physiological change reverses. That's what the Talmud said. The physiological change reverses in order to keep in step with what the rabbis are deciding about the month. So Chassidus takes this, that in other words, the rabbis are deciding what is happening in spiritual worlds. And in fact, the according to the rabbis, they decide when it's Rosh Chodesh. So that affects when it's Yom Kippur, when it's Pesach. So Pesach, Yom Kippur, any festival, is a Rosh Chodesh. These are remarkable moments in spiritual terms. And who's deciding when they happen? The Jewish people. So there's this sense of empowerment of the Jewish people in terms of what's happening above. So I think that's the way to look at it. Korach made his decisions, and he was trying to do something which would lead to some sort of wreckage or damage in spiritual realms. And the battle between him and Moshe Rabbeinu, is in order that the spiritual realm should be the way they're supposed to be, as run by God through the Torah, through Moshe and the Jewish people. That's so looking at it in that way rather than the other way around. Right? Yeah. Now, then we have this idea, what is happening on Shabbat? On Shabbat, line 12, Nimshachim u'mitkalim atzmiut mochin da'aba bezer ampin. Go back to our diagram. On Shabbat, the very essence of the mind of wisdom, wisdom is called Abba. Abba means father. Bina is called mother. So wisdom and understanding are like father and mother joining together, and from them comes Da'at and comes the other Sfirot, as if father and mother giving birth to children. So Shabbat is the time when there is this force of wisdom flowing through. Zer Ampin is a Hasidic term meaning these Sfirot. Zer Ampin means the small visage, the small face. I'm sorry about all these difficult terms. And it contrasts with the great face, which is Keter, which is on a higher level. Va'al derech zeh b'yom tov, and on a festival, Shavuot, or whenever, then we have Nimshachin Mochin De'ima, then the flow from understanding, from Bina flows, Shebetocham Netzach Hod Yesod Abba, which in fact is bonded with Abba, because on a festival it's not only Bina, it's wisdom and understanding together are flowing through. So if you see on the diagram, you've got this arrow going to understanding and then a flow through to the Sfirah. And you could say that on Shabbat it's flowing straight from wisdom, like a different arrow which flows straight from there. Now, what what this passage is saying is that just as these upper Sfirot are joining together, similarly, let's jump to line 15. So too, Kodesh Tata, the lower level of holiness, Tata means lower, and Kodesh is holy, Malchut da'atzilut, which is Malchut of this realm of emanation. Now, kingship of Atzilut is also called Chokhmah, wisdom, but it's the lower wisdom. And so that lower dimension, it flows through all the lower dimensions. Now, what are the lower dimensions? On the diagram it says existence. Now, this is the world of Atzilut, the world of emanation. We then have the world of creation, and that's Bria, and then Yitzirah, formation, and then asiya, action. So from Malchut it flows down through all the lower realms. So it's the same image of a unity above, which somehow is mirrored in a unity below. The inun, last two lines of this page, the inun chelin, and these different aspects of the lower world, kulus minin lit adcha, they all of them are crowned, bahai kodesh tata, over the page, with this lower holiness, bezimna demoed, sharia ba'alma, at a time when it's a festive time in the world, vahainu shabbat shabbat v'yom tov, on Shabbat and Yom Tov, nimshach lahem tosefet gilui or. This is the Rebbe explaining it. Oh, too savage, eh? There came down to them, there comes down to them an extra revelation of light from Malchut of Atzilut, from kingship of Atzilut, and this flows down into all the lower worlds on Shabbat and festivals. So this is So this is the atmosphere which is taking place on Shabbat and Yom Tov, a flow coming down through the Sefirot into the lower realm, and the lower realm expresses this flow downward. Now all that is saying something very similar to Kagavna, which is said every week, and that's why I thought we'd begin with this. Now, we now get the commentary of the Tzemach Tzedek explaining what this piece of Zohar means okay, so let's have a look. That's on page Vav, and it's line 9. Umavai HaTzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek explains. That's in his book, Commentary on the Zohar. Shetochen Maima HaZohar, the inner meaning of this passage of Zohar, who levai ma shenikraim gedolei hador, is to explain why great people of the generation, leaders of the generation, should be called kriyei moed. That word, the called ones of the assembly. Why should that word be used about great people? And that's explained by the Zohar. Va'al zeh omer, about this it says, Shemalchuta da'ara, that the kingship on the earth, ke'ein malchuta derakia, is like the kingship in heaven. V'harei hanhagata olamot, and the way in which the worlds run, hi al yedei hamidot da'atzilut, is through the spiritual qualities of the world of emanation, the sfirot of emanation. Shenikot tzikriye moed, and they are called these called ones of the assembly. So the leaders are called that, and the sfirot are called that. Ukumokain, and similarly, Hashba'ami Malchut Atzilut, the flow from kingship of Atzilut down to the lower worlds, Libriya Yitzira Asiya, down to the lower worlds of creation, formation, and action. Hi al yedei yudbet melachim machane shchina, come down through 12 angels, which are the camp of the Divine Presence, the Shekhinah, v'chein yud beit shvatim, and the 12 tribes, shehei melachim neshamot, and these are angels and souls, hayoteh elyonim, which are very exalted, shehei mekablim ha-hashvat chila, and they receive the flow first. Now, when we're talking about tribes, there are leaders of tribes. Va'al yadam, and through them nimshach achakach, is drawn down afterwards lapchatim, into the details. So in other words, you have leaders. In this process of a flow which is flowing down, you have leaders who embody the flow first, and then those leaders give it over to the people. line 19. Ubedugmatam lemata, and similarly below, ba'olam hazeh, in this world, heim roshei ha'eda, are the leaders of the community. People like a Hasidic Rebbe. Sha'al yadam hanhagat ha'eda, through whom the conduct of the community is governed. Shekachu seder hashba'at elukut, that is how the flow of godliness flows linshamot Yisrael to the souls of the Jewish people. Shenimshach tchilal linshamot klaliyot. First of all, it flows to general souls. A Rebbe is like a general soul. And then after that, it comes down to the individual people. And that's why the leaders, the Rebbeim, the great teachers, the Moses of each generation, they are called Kriye Moed, the ones who are called of each assembly, Kamosha Ulamaila, as it is above. Rak Shenichtav Kriye Chase Yud. But when you're talking about leaders, it's written without the letter Yud. Well, in our Sedra, it's written without the letter Yud. Now, why is it written without the letter Yud in our Sedra? Vahainu Dafka Badat Korach. Because of the problem that Korach had. Shenechzai Etzlam Hayud. They didn't have the Yud. Now, what does the Yud represent? Shezeu Mitzad Heder HaBitul. The letter Yud represents Bitul, self-abnegation. And if you don't have the Bitul, the selflessness, then you have the same attempt at leadership, but there's something flawed. There's something wrong with it. Now, this concept of the letter Yud is expressed at length in the Bati Legani discourse of Yud Shvat, where in the later chapters, like chapters 6 and 7, it speaks about the difference between a resh and a dalet. Now, there are two phrases in the Torah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the letter Dalet with the idea of the oneness of God. But there's another phrase, Lo Tishtachaveh Lekel Acher. Do not bow down to any other God. Now, in each case, in the Torah, this is a big letter. It's a big letter Dalet at the end of Echad. And it's a big letter Resh, and when it says, don't bow down to another God. Now, in each case, the Aleph and the Chet are the same. Echad and Acher, right? Echad is the oneness of God, and Kel Acher, another God, is an idol. What's the difference between them? The back of the Dalet. It's the back of the Dalet, which is the difference that makes the Resh into a Dalet. So this discourse explains that the back of the Dalet is actually a Yud. If we add a Yud onto the Resh, then instead of it being a Resh, it becomes a Dalet. So you can imagine a kind of Yud being added on, and through the Yud being added on, instead of a Resh, it's a Dalet. The Yud represents humility. That's the way that discourse goes. So the difference between idolatry and the oneness of God is the addition of the Yud, the humility. Here we've got the same image, that the problem with Korach, he is trying to achieve this powerful quality of being the channel for the flow which comes from above and which flows down from the higher levels into the lower levels, and you have leaders who are the channels in between, but he doesn't have the humility. And as a result of him not having the humility, the hint to him not having the humility is that when it speaks of him as Kriye Moed, it puts it in a defective way without the letter Yud. If it would have the letter Yud, according to this understanding of the Zohar, that would be something sacred, that would be something positive. But he is trying to achieve this flow without the quality of the humility. Now, so there's the idea of leadership, and now comes the idea of Shabbat and Yom Tov. So that's in section Bet. Umosif levaya, and he adds further, in Yana Moed de Shabbat ve Yom Tov, That means the Tzemach Tzedek explains further the idea of Shabbat and Yom Tov. Because then what is happening on Shabbat and Yom Tov? Chochmah and Binah, wisdom and understanding, are flowing into these Sfirot. Now, he asked the question, surely, and this relates to what you asked before, surely this is happening all the time, that there is a flow coming from wisdom and understanding into these Sfirot. Why is it spelled, the whole pattern of the Sfirot is that? Why is it only on Shabbat and Yom Tov? And that would be a continuous thing. So he answers the bottom line of this page, Vav, Shabbat v'Yom Tov, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Nimshechet Tosefet Or, there is extra radiance from wisdom and understanding to those Sfirot, until the flow is much infinitely more than it normally is. So in other words, it's true, there's always a flow. But suddenly, on Shabbat or on Yom Tov, there's an extra flow. And that is the extra spiritual dimension which is there on Shabbat and Yom Tov. And the extra flow comes from the higher level. Now this, Keter, crown, is the higher level. And so on Shabbat and Yom Tov, that higher level is being revealed. And that's and then he reads that back into the passage of the Zohar, the way in which you have now there's this image of a king. Let's look at line 8. Al pi mashal lemelech basav adam. There's an image of a human king. And Shabbederech, line 10, Shabbederech klal yoshev sagu v'chadro. Normally, he sits locked up in his room, b'veit ha-malchut, in the palace, ve'ein ro'ein oto, and you don't see him. Rak shmo nikha aleim, but everyone knows, they're the subject of this king, but they don't see him. Aval ein mitkale atzmuto, but his essence isn't revealed. Mash'ein kein bizman ha-simcha, but at a time of joy. For example, kushmenatzech b'milchama, when he's victorious in a war, azay oses oses udalas arav avadav, he makes a great banquet for his princes, his ministers, and his servants. Umitgale aleim, and he's revealed to them. Line 14. Va'animshal lemaila, and what this means above, sha'or v'chayud, that the radiance and life force which flows through all the worlds is only through the divine name. It's not the essence. Avu b'Shabbat v'Yom Tov. But on Shabbat and Yom Tov, hu gilui mahuto v'atzmuto, the very essence of God is revealed. V'hu mitzad nitzachon ha-milchama. That's because of the victory in the war. What is the war? Shu inyan ha-berurim. That is the effort that the human being has made, because he, a person, man or woman, we are trying to mevareh b'chol yemei ha-maaseh, to sift through existence through the 6 days of the week. As it says, la'asot et ha-shabbat, we make Shabbat. How do we make Shabbat? Mi shetarach be'erev Shabbat, if you go to an effort before Shabbat, then you're able to make Shabbat. Now, on one level, that means if you do the cooking on Thursday night or whatever it is, then you've got what to eat on Shabbat. But this is put in spiritual terms. Our spiritual efforts during the week are crystallized on Shabbat, as the idea of learning Torah. One learns Torah during the week, which then focus on Shabbat, and one's able to utilize those in praying, in davening, in thinking on Shabbat. And similarly on a festival. Umitzad ze naaseh hamshachat tosefet or miprinat hakesa. And that means that there is an extra radiance flowing through from the quality of Keter. Now, that makes the next section, through that flow, there is a tremendous quality of joy, and at the same time, bitul, selflessness. Now, how do you have joy and selflessness together? Because they sound as if they are opposite. If you're very joyful, you know, then you're very full of yourself and you, you know, do this and do that and you suddenly begin doing like maybe crazy things. But nonetheless, that's Hasidic joy, that it should be combined with bitul. And it's like a very subtle concept that if the joy has bitul, has selflessness, then it's a healthy joy. And if it doesn't have selflessness, it can be dangerous, and instead of being joy, it can lead to hololot, to all kinds of problematic issues, right? As we, all the arguments around Simchat Torah and so on. So what kind of joy is it? So the upshot of this discourse, I think we'll end early so that you can catch my room without any problems. The upshot of this discourse is that Korach was trying to achieve the joy without the bitul, without the selflessness. And the true mix is that there's joy and bitul together. Then the flow, the extra flow which flows through, is in a healthy way. It flows from above. It flows into the realm below. The leaders who are below are able to give the right mix to their community, to their Hasidim, their followers, and then you have joy and humility flowing together. Korach had a slightly warped concept of leadership. There is some sense in which he's trying to do something askew, and the Kabbalistic way of understanding it in this passage, through this section of the Zohar and this explanation of the Tzemach Tzedek, he's trying to take the joy of Binah as the flow down through the Sfirot, which he then becomes a receptacle for, and becomes the leader who is like dissipating this among others, but it's in a dangerous way, and that was why his rebellion had to be stopped. But nonetheless, the descendants of Korach did tshuva, they repented, and they became famous people later on. Which, as Rashi says, is one of his problems. Right at the beginning, he was able to see with divine prophecy that his descendants would be very great people, so that made him think that maybe he should be a leader as well. So that is a rather Kabbalistic discourse. Yeah. But in practical terms, it helps us appreciate both what Shabbat and festivals are, and also what Jewish leadership is. Now, when this was said in 1962, it's at the beginning of Tammuz, and the later on that, or the following week, would be the 12th of Tammuz, which is like a special day of the previous Rebbe. For us, it's just before Gimel Tammuz, the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe, which will be next Tuesday, next year. Then we'll be looking at the Rebbe's own discourse, the Atul Tzaveh, the discourse, which was the last edited discourse that he taught. Hopefully we'll be looking at some of that. But this helps us understand both leadership and the special quality of Shabbat.
All right,
thank you.
I have to go and say something.